You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome to tonight's live broadcast, everyone. I'm your host, James Edwards, along with Keith Alexander. This is TPC, Saturday evening, May 21st. And we're going to do a couple of surprise shows over the course of the last couple of weeks, or at least I should say a couple of surprise topics that we didn't anticipate having to cover, much less spend an entire program doing so. You heard a week before last when we had Sam Dixon and Brad Griffin and Roger Devlin on to talk about the apparent overturning of Roe versus Wade. Tonight, of course, we'll be talking about Buffalo, the shooting in Buffalo, and we're going to be doing it for the full 3 hours, very nearly the full 3 hours. We are going to wrap up the show on a lighter note, but for the majority of the show, that's what our singular focus will be. And helping us provide and deliver that in-depth opinion and analysis this evening will be Warren Balog, author and journalist Trey Garrison, and political commentator Tim Murdoch. Over the course of the 3 hours, those three guests will be joining yours truly and Keith Alexander to unpack this situation from every possible angle. Now, that being said, I do have an opening statement that I'd like to say. I'm just going to do this off the cuff, and I hope I can stab at what is in my mind, and then we'll bring Keith in and we'll get started. So this situation with 18-year-old Peyton Gendron going to Buffalo, New York, going into a majority black area and the grocery store there and killing, I believe it was 10 blacks and two others. We are going to address this issue, I just want to say up front, based upon how it is being presented. And by that I mean we are going to give the lying press the benefit of the doubt that it does not deserve, of course, and assume that Gendron actually held the beliefs that have been attributed to him. Of course, we'll never know. We'll have to take their word for it, right? We base this knowledge off of their reports, which always contain an anti-white narrative and are oftentimes completely devoid of any truth. What we do know is that many times with shooters like this, and we have seen this several times already in the first two decades of the 21st century, these men are on psychotropic drugs. They sometimes have government-involved handlers. This could be a plotted but prodded thing, if you know what I mean. These shooters are oftentimes, almost always, troubled. They don't have a stable family or a stable mother or father. They don't have a tie to God. They have problems with females and are sexually frustrated because of the rejection there. This pattern has repeated itself time and time again in some cases. And in some cases, it is literally provocateurs in the government that even have a hand in this. This has happened before. I am not discounting that some of those elements might be in play here. But since we don't know that, we aren't going to dwell on it beyond this one statement here at the top. But I did want to mention it here at the open that it is a possibility that I have considered. That said, we're going to spend the remainder of the show discussing the situation based upon how it is being presented to us. And that is, of course, that this was a white supremacist whose beliefs, primarily that which is being called the Great Replacement Theory, is the reason that Peyton Gendron went and murdered the shoppers at the grocery store in a black neighborhood in Buffalo, New York. The white supremacist and anti-Semitic Great Replacement Theory is what is to blame here, so they tell us. One more thing, and then I want to bring in Keith. Let me say this about the Great Replacement. The Great Replacement Theory is real. It's not a lie. It's not a theory. It's a fact. It's replacement reality. Whites are being replaced in the United States. The white proportion of the population is decreasing in the United States, and every other population is increasing. That is not debatable. It is absolutely factual. You can debate the causes. Is it because white men and women are failing to replace each other at replacement level fertility? But a bigger cause, of course, is the fact that our government is importing so many people, primarily Hispanics, and that we are getting flat out replaced in the process. You can argue whether they are doing this by design or that they just don't care, but you cannot say it isn't true. You can lie like Joe Biden is doing, like Joe Biden has done this week, but Americans need to wake up and pay attention to the right media who is telling them the truth about things like this, and that's us. Go look at the numbers. Even the government numbers contradict Joe. Crazy, whacked-out Joe can't even get his own government's numbers right. And he's lying to you, folks. It's not replacement theory. It's replacement fact. And it only becomes a conspiracy theory if you're opposed to it. Of course, they're tying it to the shooter and saying that it's our ideology that's the problem because he allegedly cited this fact-based data with regard to demographic figures, and they're literally now attacking everyone from Tucker Carlson to establishment Republicans because of this. They're casting the net so wide now that it's gone far beyond TPC and assorted Confederates. And that is a good thing. We'll talk more about that later, but that is my opening statement on this. Keith, please weigh in. We got a busy show tonight, 3 hours on this, very nearly, as I said. Let's go.
Did it ever seem odd to you that if he is complaining about the great replacement, he goes out and shoots 10 homegrown blacks? He's not like the shooter in El Paso shooting Hispanics that may have come over the border illegally. He hasn't focused on Somalians. There are areas of the nation in where the only blacks basically that you would find would be Somalians. They're not the targets. It's basically the people that have been here, according to New York Times, since 1619, that he shoots to protest the Great Replacement. Something doesn't add up here. This is kind of screwy, okay? I'm trying to figure out. I've looked at that so-called manifesto of his. It's just a cut-and-paste job from the guy in New Zealand, basically, and some others. And if Peyton Gendron could have cut-and-pasted it, there are all sorts of people working for the government or working for the left that could have done the same thing. So let me say this. I am somewhat skeptical about the bona fides of this whole thing. It just doesn't make sense. If he wanted to get immigrants, if he is, that's who is replacing us. Nobody is saying that the black population in America is growing at such a pace that we're being replaced by that.
We'll present statistics on that too.
So, you know, this whole thing doesn't pass the sniff test. Something is screwy here. And I'd really ask people to consider that before they jump on this, politically correct virtue signaling bandwagon.
That you brought up a very good point there, Keith, and I'm glad that you did. And it is something that I touched on just a moment ago, and that is that we truly don't know. I remarked at our pre-show supper this evening that used to the press had access to interview murderers like Ted Bundy. And people like that.
Lee Harvey Oswald was actually assassinated as he was trying to respond to questions from reporters.
And I was wondering, with as much news as the murders, and look, this is murder. It's not justifiable. This guy is going to pay with his life for this. But why does the news, why have they never interviewed Dylann Roof, for example, or this guy? You'll never see a sit-down interview of 2020 or Dateline or anything like that, 60 minutes with this guy. And I'm wondering if it's because, hey, I didn't write that. What are you talking about? I don't know, okay? And we're not saying that it is. It's just something to consider.
Remember what Lee Harvey Oswald said? He said, it's a frame-up. I'm being set up. I'm a patsy. Okay?
Well, who knows? Maybe they were waiting for this opportunity, and then they filled in the blanks with their details. But in any event, that's not the angle we're coming at this from. Rest of the show, we're going to cover it from our response to the media's coverage of it.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Brave. That's what Steve Womack called the man who murdered an unarmed Trump supporter. Womack hates Trump, but loves China. COVID killed millions of Americans, and Walmart's bag boy Womack carries water for China in D.C. Womack calls Trump fans extremists, says Trump was soundly defeated. We should accept the results. Womack blamed Trump for January 6th, voted for Pelosi's witch hunt, and says Trump supporters are un-American and unpatriotic. Steve Womack is a disgrace.
I'm Neil Kumar, and I approve this message.
Brave.
Well, welcome back, everybody. That was the brand new ad by Neil Kumar that, by the way, has started running this weekend, and it will play hundreds of times on a wide variety of channels, including Fox during Tucker Carlson's hour. And the election there, the primary election for Neil Kumar, is on Tuesday, May the 24th in Arkansas Congressional District Number 3. So good luck to you, Neil. Now back to the topic at hand here. The shooting in New York. Yes, we were talking about before the break. They never interview the so-called white supremacist killers, and it just it seems a little odd to me that they don't. But again, it forces us to take their word that these are actually their words and their thoughts. But I would say this, and this probably doesn't need to be said: white men do not commit acts of violence, do not support, promote, suggest, glorify, or incite violence. Doing so only aids those who hate us. And counterproductive actions like this play directly into the hands of the anti-white establishment. Nothing pleases the system more than white men doing something like this that gives their anti-white and false narrative the appearance of legitimacy. So just don't do it, and you don't need to do it for a lot of reasons. Even if you can't wrap your mind around the moral aspect of it, millions of whites are coming over to our way of thinking. Brad Griffin cited a number of Pew Center research polls at Occidental Descent, fresh polls. We've been talking about polls that show the tide is beginning to turn within the Republican base, and how the Republican base has become radicalized in the best possible sense of the word through the BLM riots and all of that over the last few years. Now you have, I believe it is upwards of half, almost half, of the Republican voting base believes there is a great replacement going on, or a great reset, as Glenn Beck calls it. In fact, Glenn Beck has a book out called The Great Reset, the exact same thing he's talking about. This thing has gone totally mainstream now. And over half of white evangelical Christians believe there is a great replacement of the white population happening. So you're talking about right there, you're talking about millions of whites now agreeing with us. That was not the case in 2015. That is the case now. That is progress. Don't muck it up by doing things like this. But Keith, there is encouraging things that are happening. And as I said, I believe that this really plays into the hands of our enemies, whether this was a legitimate action or a foolhardy action. We don't know. Either way, it's not good for whites.
If the mainstream media is trying to control the narrative totally, they will not let the so-called shooter or the perpetrator speak. They didn't let Rudolf Hess speak. They didn't let James Harvey Oswald speak. They didn't let anybody that has, you know, they're not going to give you the opportunity to say something that would be perfectly reasonable and would basically validate the shooter, like the Great Replacement Theory. The Great Replacement Theory, trying to turn that into an extremist position, is turning half of America into extremists. They're not going to work on that. That's a great loser. So consequently, you know, you have media mouthpieces like Glenn Beck that want to rename it the Great Reset, just like Mark Levin wants to rename cultural Marxism American Marxism. They want to basically claim that they've discovered something that a lot of other people discovered long before they did. They just hopped on the bandwagon. They don't want to appear that way. But this Great Replacement doesn't need to be. See, they're trying to because they can vilify Peyton Glendorn or whatever his name is.
Gendron.
They're trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater, which is the Great Replacement Theory. The Great Replacement is obviously happening. This is what the left in America wants. And it is, right. I mean, you hit the nail on the head and you drive it straight, as I often say. And that's exactly what the Great Replacement Theory is. This is how they intend to gain power and to control our government and put us at the behest and the, you know, as a tool for people like Klaus Schwab, who say that, you know, with the World Economic Forum that meets every year in Davos, he said, you will own nothing and you will be happy. This is where all of this leads. The Great Replacement is a way to do this. That's a way to turn America into a vassal of NATO, basically, which is what they're trying to do.
Keith, again, this population shift, are we going to split hairs here, by the way, on what we call it? We call it a replacement. How do you define the word replacement? Replacement means the action or process of replacing someone or something. A second definition of the word replacement is a person or a thing that takes the place of another. That is exactly what's happening. And by the way, Biden gave a speech a couple of years ago in which he explicitly stated that whites will soon be a minority and that it's a beautiful thing. If you agree with the Great Replacement, of course you can talk about it and celebrate it. It's only a conspiracy theory if you disagree with it. Now, I've got a collection of clips here. It's a minute long, a little over a minute long, from everyone from mainstream media commentators like Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper to highly elected officials like Nancy Pelosi. Let's see what they say about it. It's a conspiracy theory. Let's see that whites are losing their place here in America. Let's just see what they say about it. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes or your lying ears?
In a few years, we're going to be a majority brown country. White people will not be the majority in the country anymore.
This will be the first generation ever in American history in which whites will be a minority of the generation at some point.
As of 2007, every year babies being born in this country, whites now are the minority.
As the demographics change, as white people become the minority in the country, which is coming.
Demographics is destiny. Demographics is destiny.
Demographics is destiny, right? The country is changing.
I've been saying it here. Other people have been saying it here for years now, even before Donald Trump. The demographics is destiny.
The white population is declining for the first time in history in America, while the number of multiracial Americans have more than doubled.
So we live in a country where the demographics are changing. It's becoming less white.
Correct.
Okay.
You'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president. It's changing. It's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics, because of the population growth.
The growth in Texas has been almost entirely driven by non-white population growth, mostly by Hispanic and Latino population growth.
The idea that whites will not be the majority, I mean, it's an exciting transformation of the country. It's an exciting evolution and, you know, progress of our country in many different ways.
The white population is declining. It was always on the upswing. So that speaks to the beautiful diversity of America. It speaks to how that population will, the demographics will weigh in politically.
Okay, so again, Keith, if we say that we're white supremacists and we're anti-Semitic conspiracy theorists, but because we oppose it, of course, because we want what's best for our family and our children and our posterity. And by the way, so did the founding fathers. This country was created for ourselves and our posterity. And they certainly meant that in a racial sense. But if you're for it, it's not a conspiracy at all. It's something to be lauded.
Yeah, but they're still saying that it's a valid observation and it is a valid description of reality. This is what's happening. I mean, every leftist gets on there and they will not allow you to draw the natural conclusion that anybody who, one, likes the way America used to be, or two, if you're white, if you have a sense of solidarity with your own race, if you make a comment about it, then that's verboten. On the other hand, they want nothing but praise and credit for replacing white Americans. If you don't think white Americans are the worst people in the world and need to be replaced, and you bring up the Great Replacement, then suddenly you're a nut. You are Peyton Glendorn or whatnot, or you're
Kendron,
a,
yes.
Kendron, whatever the guy's name is. Well, anyway, whatever it is, you know, they control the narrative. They say you can't use the Great Replacement because that's our concept, and it's basically what we've done, and we brag all the time how well it's working. But if you notice it and then draw a different conclusion from it, then you're an evil person.
Let me boil it down this way. Let me put it even in simpler terms. You're an anti-white, and you say that whites are being replaced. Well, of course they are, and isn't that great? How good of you to notice. You're a pro-white, and you say whites are being replaced. Well, what are you, an anti-Semite, conspiracy theorist, white supremacist? So,
and if, you're against the replacement of white people in America by, like I said, Hispanics and brown people, those are the people that are replacing the whites. That's where all the third world immigration comes from.
We'll talk about
that.
Then
why would you shoot black people that have been here since 1619? It makes no sense.
We will talk about that with Warren Baylog of the National Justice Party, a fantastic political commentator and analyst in his own right. And he'll be with us next. So stay tuned for Warren making his second appearance on TPC.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
No more gas from Russia to Finland. The Kremlin has cut off the Nordic country. The move comes after Helsinki refused to pay Russian energy giant Gazprom in rubles and after Finland announced it wanted to join NATO. The break is easier for Finland compared to other European nations. Russian imports of natural gas accounts for some 5% of Finland's total energy consumption. North Korea says it found nearly 220,000 more people with feverish symptoms, even as leader Kim Jong-un claimed progress in slowing a largely undiagnosed spread of COVID-19. He hinted at easing virus restrictions to help an economy on the decay. Experts say Pyongyang is certainly downplaying the true scale of how the virus has spread among the unvaccinated populace. Once again, the major indexes on Wall Street lost, this time for the sixth straight week. This is USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, Roll and Go Anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175. 8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the buy one, get one extravaganza going on right now at MyPillow.com.
The youngest of 10 black people killed at a Buffalo supermarket in a racist attack laid to rest this weekend. 32-year-old Roberta Drury was at the Tops Friendly Market to buy groceries at the time of the shooting. The Syracuse area native moved to Western New York a decade ago to take care of her brother as he fought leukemia. Drury is known by friends and family as Robbie. She's being remembered as big-hearted and quick with a laugh. A tornado that touched down in northern Michigan killed at least two people and injured more than 40. The twister hit the town of Gaylord Friday. Video posted online showed extensive damage along the city's main street. One building appeared to be largely collapsed. Utility poles and debris are found along the side of the road. A shelter has been set up at a church. The last time Gaylord had a severe windstorm was more than two decades ago. A state of emergency has been declared for Otsego County. Former President Trump has paid the $110,000 in fines for being held in contempt by a New York state court. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back, everybody. Very excited now to bring to the audience the first of three outstanding commentators that will be helping us tackle this issue in depth, and that is Warren Balog. Warren is the National Secretary of the National Justice Party. He is also a major contributor to the Right Stuff Network at therightstuff.biz, and he and his wife, the lovely Emily Balog, nay Yukas, host their own live stream that is fantastic, Modern Politics, and I believe I have a link to that at the top of TPC's blog tonight. Warren, great to have you back tonight, especially on this topic.
Oh, James, thanks for having me back on, Keith. Greetings to you both, it's just good to be back on. Thanks for the intro.
Good to have you. You're welcome. Continue, my friend. We're going to follow your lead on this. I know you were tuned in earlier to what we had to say. So
yeah.
Let's continue on with our coverage and analysis on this situation in Buffalo. What are the most interesting takeaways and points that you'd like to share with the listeners tonight?
Well, the biggest takeaway that I had from this, when I first saw this, I even said to people, I don't even feel the need to disavow this or distance myself from it or the groups I'm involved with from it, because I don't consider this individual to be, he was not connected with any group, he was not involved with any group. All the evidence suggests that this was just a lone nutcase who latched on to this idea. Much of his so-called manifesto was just copying and pasting stuff from another Looney Tune, which was the Christchurch shooter in New Zealand. And the thing that I've really been focused on is the fact that his posts, he was making posts on the platform Discord, which anybody, you know, operating in the alt-right 4 years ago knew Discord was compromised. The website Unicorn Riot, which is like an Antifa-affiliated website, posted huge leaks of Discord chats years ago. And this guy was for months posting details about what he wanted to do. He's an 18-year-old kid, very disturbed, clearly. New York Post released an article about how he had tortured a cat to death. And like, I don't know if he wrote about it in his journal. All the marks of the same type of mass shooters that we used to have, that we still have in America, like the Korean guy that shot up Virginia Tech, or the psycho that dressed as the Joker and shot up that movie theater. It's just in this case, this individual latched onto this ideology as a justification for what he would have probably otherwise done. And the big takeaway that I think people should look into on this is the fact that the Biden administration has been warning about white nationalist domestic terrorism, white supremacist terrorism, basically since they took office. Alejandro Mayorkas, Homeland Security, and particularly Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, have been harping on about the threat of white domestic terrorism for 2 years. In fact, last year, they released a whole report on it. They were testifying for Congress on it. Biden, I don't know if you remember where he addressed the joint session of Congress, was talking about it. And at the time, and then NJP chairman Mike Banovich gave a whole speech about this a few months ago, there was no white terrorism at the time. There were no incidents. I mean, the last time something like this happened was probably Dylann Roof in the United States in 2015. So especially at a time when black mass shootings are off the charts. There have been several black mass shootings since this one happened. That same weekend, there was one in Milwaukee. And the other thing that we have to keep in mind is that we know from the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot, you know, those folks were acquitted, and it came out that there was heavy FBI informant involvement. We know that there was a series of articles done on this organization called the Order of Nine Angles, and then the other one called Atomwaffen, that there were paid FBI informants involved with that, involved with radicalizing, you know, mentally ill young men, disturbed young men, to try to get them to commit acts of terrorism or associate with terrorism. And just the last thing I'll say, James, is I found there was a quote here. This is from an article that appeared in The Intercept a few years back, talking about, the name of the article was The Sting, How the FBI Created a Terrorist. And this is something that they did a lot during the War on Terror. And this was the quote. It said, informant-led sting operations are central to the FBI's counterterrorism program. Of 508 defendants prosecuted in federal terrorism-related cases in the decade after 9/11, 243, so about half, were involved with an FBI informant. While 158 were the targets of sting operations, of those cases, an informant or FBI undercover operative led 49 defendants in their terrorism plots, similar to the way the subject of the article was led in his. And it says that in these cases, the FBI says paid informants and undercover agents are foiling attacks before they occur, but the evidence suggests, and a recent Human Rights Watch report on the subject illustrates, that the FBI isn't always nabbing would-be terrorists so much as setting up mentally ill or economically desperate people to commit crimes that they never would have accomplished on their own. So I would say the first thing that we need to do, the first thing we need to look at, if the Biden administration was talking about this threat of white domestic terrorism a year before this incident happened and testifying that it's the biggest threat, what involvement were there of FBI informants, of undercover people? They've admitted that they were monitoring this guy. You know, he had threatened to shoot up, I think, his school or something, to do murder-suicide before. This guy was on their radar. What was his interaction with these people online? Were they feeding him ideas, memes? Were they looking the other way while he built up a big amount of online evidence that he was planning an attack? Were they looking the other way, hoping that this would happen? Because this is exactly what they've wanted and needed this whole time, and now they finally got it. And as we saw, the House just passed this domestic terrorism bill that's been sitting on the since 2019.
Warren, that is excellent commentary, outstanding commentary. They did pass that in the House, but what was so interesting about that is that the Republicans, to a man or woman, voted against it. I think that's interesting that the Republicans actually did something here that was quite good and remarkable.
Maybe they've just caught on finally.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I don't want to put too much hope into
that.
But
guys were saying it. Yeah, you guys were saying it before the break. The remarkable thing about this is that we see what this was and what they're intending to do with it. Like I say, I would say you'd have to be a naive idiot to think that there wasn't someone watching this kid, feeding him stuff, trying to set him off, aiding him in some way. And that's where we need to look and where there needs to be an investigation. But the amazing thing is that the media, instead of taking this incident, which is the thing that they have wanted and hoped for basically 2 years, instead of taking it and making it about isolating and targeting white nationalist groups or white nationalist advocates or people who speak out openly on behalf of white people, they made the decision to essentially attack anyone who ever voted for Donald Trump, attack white people as a whole, attack anyone who is to the right of the Democratic Party. And to make it about this great replacement theory, which, of course, as we know, you know, you said before the break, it's not a theory. It's a very much a fact, to attack that as being the thing that causes terrorism. So, in other words, anyone who says that, who talks about that white demographic replacement, is basically encouraging terrorism. So what's remarkable to me is that I don't think Republicans in Congress, I mean, we know that these people, a lot of them, do what's in their own interests. What I think it is a sign of, what you just said, is a sign that they are responding to pressure from the bottom, that white Americans are fed up, that they've had enough, they know what's happening, they know this demographic replacement is real, that, as you played that clip, they're bragging about it. The bad guys are bragging about it every day. They have been for over a decade and a half about how whites are going to be a minority. So what's amazing to me is that White people are not taking the bait with this. They are not falling for it. They are not spending time hand-wringing and condemning, because nobody, no sane person wants anything to do with a psychotic who straps a camera to his head and is shooting people, you know, innocent civilians in the back. I mean, that's not something that a sane person would do. So instead of white America falling into the thing that's kind of happened after Dylann Roof, you know, it kind of also happened, James, I was just thinking about the 16th Street, the Baptist church bombing that in 1963, where four little black girls were killed. That was an FBI informant who planted that dynamite. And if you look into the details of that, if the whole thing was done by Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, the next year the Civil Rights Act was passed. So I think white America has had this sort of thing done to them enough times in recent memory that they're just not buying it. And I think the fact that the essentially it is. And the fact that Republicans in Congress didn't go for it means they're responding to pressure from below. Their constituents see through it that it's crap, and they're not going to fall for it.
We'll talk more about that. I want to touch on something you said earlier. In this segment, Warren, what wonderful analysis. This is why we had to have Warren Balog on tonight. We'll get Keith Alexander back in the game in this next segment. More from Warren next.
American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Warren Balog is the first of 3 outstanding guests you'll hear this evening, breaking down the situation out of Buffalo. Trey Garrison and Tim Murdoch, still forthcoming this evening. Had the privilege of meeting Warren and his beautiful wife, Emily, a few months ago, and we really hit it off, and the rest is history. I've got a question that's come in from the audience. Warren, you've really already answered it, but the question is so good, I want to ask you. And we got a lot of ground to cover this segment. Want to get Keith back in here, and so we'll just move as rapidly as we can. But I would just say, somebody had sent me a comment saying, if you are an anti-white leftist praying for the most perfectly gift-wrapped outrage fuel, this incident satisfies every requirement down to the last detail. And that's true, but it's almost a too good to be true scenario for the anti-white system, because everything's going in our direction, really. And I still don't think even with the overturning, the apparent overturning of Roe versus Wade, even with a situation like this, it's not going to overcome inflation and the gas prices. It's just not going to do it. I still predict a red tide coming up in November. Now, here's the question, Warren, then we got to get back to Keith. In the Buffalo shooting, this listener writes, as in so many others, the shooter was well known to the police and the FBI. Do the authorities let these events happen for political gain? Do they groom the shooters, or are they genuinely hogtied by laws that stop them from taking preventative action? This kid threatened to shoot his class at a graduation and wore a hazmat suit to school for a week. It was suggested that he go to the loony bin, what prevented him from being put away. You touched on it, Warren. Quick answer, and then we'll go to Keith.
Yeah, I think all the evidence points to that, James. I think that we would be fools to not believe that. They want more money for their terrorism budget. They want to have a new thing to monitor domestic terrorism. I think the question is that money going towards causing domestic terrorism? You know, the group Adam Waffen did for many years was operating, putting out this radical stuff about how legitimate above board groups. Like the National Justice Party, like others, are always having to fight and push back against in the online spaces that we've been confined to, because we're all censored off of Twitter and YouTube and the rest of it. You always have to fight a deluge of anonymous posters posting memes, posting statements advocating for terrorism, violence, this kind of thing. We know where it's coming from. We know who's posting it. And so, yes, absolutely, that's this. At the very least, these people knew about this guy and looked the other way because it just totally fits their agenda.
Or does affirmative action within the FBI and contribute to the incompetence of law enforcement, or is it by design? That we don't know. Keith?
Well, the thing that really gets me about this, Warren, is that anybody that has looked at this situation knows that the great replacement in America is coming from Hispanics. It's not coming from Africa. It's not coming from Alabama. It's not coming from Eskimos. It's coming from Hispanic people. Why? And if it's in Europe, it's coming from Middle Easterners and North African Muslims. Okay? That's elementary. That's what the truth is. That's the fact. Why then would this guy choose to mow down 10 random black people? Is it that the left, in its calculus, decides that black bodies are more inflammatory than Hispanic bodies? And is this basically just trying to press the buttons of left-leaning people into believing that somehow there is an army of Trump supporters out there ready to go ballistic with automatic weapons and whatnot against all minorities comes under the rubric of the great replacement? It just doesn't make any sense that he would be choosing black people to kill if he's really objecting to the great replacement.
That's an excellent point. I mean, we've seen with the woke capital element, with the woke corporate left, a kind of deification of blackness over the last 2 years, especially since the George Floyd death. Black, you know, you just see it. I'm sure you guys have seen, like, in advertising, for example, the way overnight, just you can't turn on a television advertisement without it being black people. There's just this worship of all things black, even to the point where, like, some of the feminist stuff that they were pushing 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when Hillary Clinton was running, and the Me Too stuff and all that, that's all been dropped. Emily and I have talked about this on our show, how they've actually pivoted from trying to prop up, like, leftist white women as a sort of battering ram against white society, traditional society as a whole, to now white women are Karens. You know, a white woman who calls the police on a black man who is accosting her is now arrested herself for a racist police call, you know, and is called a Karen. Black people, I've had personal incidents related to me by people where a woman was attacked basically by a black guy who then started whipped out his phone and then calls her a Karen, you know, and hopes to get a viral clip so he can get her to lose her job. So I think that's blacks are the big, the big holy cow that this system is holding up right now. Of course, blacks aren't the ones actually pulling the strings, but they're the ones that have been held up as the symbolic holy cow. And so, yes, that makes perfect sense. What we have with this shooting is essentially the ideology of Brenton Tarrant combined with the actions of Dylann Roof. So, like you said, it's just it's all wrapped up in a nice bow, tied up for Merrick Garland and the Justice Department to unleash whatever kind of new wave of totalitarianism they're bent on unleashing.
Well, apparently black has more pizzazz than brown or oriental or any other group, homosexuals, women, you name it. It comes from that deification of the American Civil Rights Movement that still is alive. We were mentioning, for example, back when the movie The Help came out, that whenever yeah. the left's agenda for change runs into choppy waters and they're not getting traction, they can always be relied upon to bring out some reminiscence about, you know, police dogs and, you know, fire hoses and stuff like this, and hark back to the Civil Rights Movement when there was apparently a consensus that the left was all good and the right was all bad. So they're still trying to tap into that vein of ore, I think, and it just doesn't make any sense that if somebody is complaining about the Great Replacement that they somehow are so addled that they think black Americans are responsible for it.
Warren, before you comment on that, I would say, and great comment, Keith, as always, I don't think it matters anymore. I think they could get away with that for a long time, but we have seen a sea change and a realignment of the Republican base that I think is going to make a lot of their tactics moot. And Merrick Garland and the Department of Social Justice can do whatever they want over the course between now and November. But after that, I think they're going to be out of business. And here's an observation that I had, Warren, and I want to get a quick take on this from you. And then we'll get you to plug your contacts. And then in the next hour with Trey Garrison, we're going to be talking with Trey, of course, about the double standard with the proliferation of black mass murderers and how that happens when the negative image is in play, what kind of coverage the situation in Wisconsin at the Christmas parade, for instance, got. That's coming up in the next hour. We're not forgetting about that, folks. We just haven't got to it yet. Warren, back in 2015, when you had the Dylann Roof incident, the biggest fish they could go for, I think, was the Council of Conservative Citizens, because it was alleged, and again, I don't know this for a fact, I'm taking their word for it, that Dylann Roof had gone one time, one visit to the CFCC's website, and that was, of course,
great triggering.
That was the great triggering. That's what caused that shooting in Charleston, just as the Great Replacement fact is what's caused the situation in Buffalo. But they went after the CFCC. Now they're going after Tucker Carlson and the Republican Party. That is a dramatic observation. It's moved so far beyond.
So mainstream now.
It's so mainstream now. It's moved far beyond the wonderful company that we keep, because so many people have been awakened, I think, because of BLM and because of Antifa
and because of the riots. Internet. The internet has been the best thing that ever happened to the distant right.
In any event, your take, Warren, and with about 2 or 3 minutes remaining, give us your take and give us all of your contact information for NJP, for The Right Stuff, for Modern Politics. But your take on, In 7 years, they've gone from attacking our groups primarily when something like this occurs to attacking Fox News and the Republican Party. That's remarkable.
I'll tell you what I think. I mean, if you want to know my personal opinion on that, I'll tell you what I think it is. I think that the people running this system, individuals like Jonathan Greenblatt, who runs the ADL, or Tim Wise, the anti-racist, whatever he is, educator, he calls himself, even Chuck Todd on Meet the Press, who's the host of Meet the Press these days, who's just every episode is just a breathless attack on white America as a whole. I think that we are dealing with a generation of people who are, in a way, they are drunk on the power and privilege that they were born into. And they have forgotten the lessons of their forefathers, who maybe understood better that they are a minority in a society that if they're trying to subvert and control that society, they got to be careful about how they do it. We are dealing with people who have just been born into this power and privilege, who are a part of the ruling caste of this planet and this country, And they just think that they can just go all out in their anti-white attacks, attacking all of white America. If white America chooses to vote for Donald Trump, then white America itself has to go and be attacked. I don't think that the Republican Party, like I said, I mean, I wish it, the Republican Party were changing on its own for the better, but I think it's just that the people, the bad guys, are so bad right now, and they're so spoiled. They're almost like a – I compared them to like a mad king sitting on a throne. You know, you have inflation. It's the worst in 40 years. You have this debacle in Ukraine and them sending more money with it. So it's just something that they don't know what they're doing. I think we're being led by really, really incompetent people who are just bunk on power.
That's fine, but I tell you, a change is going to come, as they said. Warren, we got 15 seconds left.
Blowing in the wind.
Keith, if we had Warren's talent, we could have really done something in radio. I tell you, fantastic commentary. I can't say it enough. Warren, 10 seconds. Give us your contact.
Okay, so go to nationaljusticeparty.com. That's the party I'm involved with. You can see my latest speech on white replacement on there. Go to therightstuff.biz. You can subscribe and listen to all my podcasts and the show, the video show I do with my wife, Emily. It's called Modern Politics. You can find it on Telegram or Odyssey. Just search Warren, Emily, and Modern Politics on Google, and it should come up.
Thank you, Warren. We'll talk to you again soon. Trey Garrison up next.
You know